You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In March of 2020, the pandemic shut California down, and millions of people found themselves scrambling to file for unemployment benefits. But California's job safety net, administered by the Employment Development Department, or EDD, buckled under the stress. Tens of billions of dollars in fraud was lost. Scammers had an easier time getting signed up than real workers, and millions of legitimate claims were frozen or denied. A year-long investigation from CalMatters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state, reveals how existing faults and delayed reforms rendered EDD's outdated unemployment system vulnerable and left workers waiting weeks or months for benefits that they desperately needed. And in some tragic cases, the help arrived too late. Lauren Hepler is an investigative reporter for CalMatters who has covered the ongoing issues and breakdowns in pandemic unemployment programs. She joins us with more about her findings and how EDD is trying to overhaul its battered systems. Welcome back to Insight, Lauren.
Thanks for having me, Vicky.
So you last joined us on Insight in May, and you shared your reporting about why California's EDD challenges, they're not over yet. So 6 months later, you've published a series of investigative reports detailing how things went wrong and the devastating consequences for millions of Californians. So the big reporter's notebook picture, what went into this latest series?
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea was really, you know, now that it's hard to believe, but it's been 3.5 years since the first COVID shutdown. So we wanted to take a step back. We requested several thousand pages of state contracts, of internal emails and communications, financial records, to just try to get a handle on, as the dust settles, what really went wrong during the pandemic, because we know this was an issue both in California and other states. So what specifically went wrong here? What's been fixed since? And, you know, could any of this ultimately happen again?
So is this a forensic look back solely, or does your investigation also highlight problems that still exist today?
Both. Unfortunately, we found that several of the key differences between California and other states, like one example being that California is one of only three states in the U.S. that doesn't offer direct deposit for unemployment payments. And as you and I have discussed, that went haywire during the pandemic when the state's Bank of America unemployment debit cards proved to be vulnerable to fraud. So the state still doesn't have a direct deposit option. So workers still have to deal with these debit cards. Though, interestingly, we also did find out that Bank of America is winding down their work with the state. So there's going to be a new bank in play here. So it just shows all these things are still kind of rippling. And then we can talk about it in more detail. But the EDD is also gearing up to spend $1.2 billion over the next 5 years on fixing some of the things that went really long, really wrong, like the call centers, where as few as 1 in 1,000 people were getting through. So there's a lot to this that the state is promising help is on the way, and we're going to have to stay on that and follow the story.
When you were reading the documents that you requested, I mean, some of them are email exchanges. Was the state or people who were in positions of power, were they aware really from like the start of the state shutting down that there was an issue with EDD?
I mean, it was pretty surreal to go back and read the emails. We all remember, I'm sure, that time just being so crazy. It was like, okay, things are maybe going to shut down for a few days, a few weeks. And you can kind of see the realization of, oh my gosh, this is going to be enormous, like far beyond any projections for job losses in the emails between the people who were in power at the time. So the state's top labor official, Julie Sue, had emailed the folks at EDD on like March 18th, the day before California shut down, just basically saying, like, is our system ready for this to prevent delays or even a full system crash? And they were optimistic at first. EDD's IT manager wrote back and said, system is performing fantastic on March 19th. And from there, unfortunately, you can just kind of see the dominoes fall. There's a panic about, oh my gosh, we can't even, there's not enough plastic to print the number of unemployment debit cards we're going to need. You start seeing staffers for state legislators writing to the EDD saying, oh my God, we have constituents who are suicidal because they're stuck getting the runaround from EDD about where their money is. You had folks even like in the governor's office emailing for help saying my social security number is being stolen to file fraudulently for unemployment benefits. So it really just kind of By going back and looking at those records, you can see behind the scenes how things were kind of coming unglued, which obviously, unfortunately, had pretty devastating real world impacts for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's important to take a look back because that personal toll is still very much felt to this day for a lot of people. During the pandemic, 1 in 8 Californians were impacted by this widespread fraud. Delayed payments, if they happened, weeks, months on end, but bills didn't stop. What did you learn about the consequences that people suffered?
Yeah, I mean, the ripple effects really kind of went off in all different directions. One of the most kind of one of the biggest patterns we kind of saw was the collision of unemployment issues in the state's housing crisis. So you can see that in stories like a construction worker named Danny Ramos, who is down in the San Diego area. And he, in his EDD account, could see about $8,000 sitting there, but he told a state appeals judge that he never got the debit card to spend the money. So that left him, you know, not having the cash to pay rent when he needed to. So in his case, he ultimately moved. He was like, I need to find a cheaper rental. And he found that across the Mexico border in Tecate, which in his case meant he had to separate from his family. They went to stay with family in another part of the country. Another man I talked with in Fairfield, close to Sacramento, got in a situation where he also never received the benefits he applied for. He said he was accused of fraud. So he ended up draining his 401k, sold the house in Fairfield, and now lives in an RV at a trailer park in Arizona. So you can see kind of how the EDD issues combined with this sort of California exodus conversation that a lot of folks have been having during the pandemic. But I do think it's important to highlight there is also some really intriguing stories of people who decided to fight back. So there's a mother-daughter pair that I interviewed in San Francisco named Maria and Maribel Sanchez. Maria is from El Salvador and had been a nanny in San Francisco for many years. And when things shut down, obviously that work kind of disappeared being in someone else's home. And so she's most comfortable speaking Spanish and just had a really hard time getting through to the EDD to get her payments and get clarity on her case. And she ultimately was ordered to repay over $2,000 in benefits after the EDD said that she made a, quote, false statement in English, which, again, she's a Spanish speaker. And her daughter, Maribel, was actually a law student at the time. And she said, this is not fair. There's all this fraud, these scams happening, and the EDD is going after people like my mom who don't have this money to repay them in the first place, and they're not offering them services in the language that they speak. So you can really look at this through so many different lenses, and it's just been wild to kind of see how these stories have unfolded over the last 3 years.
I mean, one of the most extreme cases that you share in your reporting is a gentleman named Shane. He was 28 years old. How did you find out about his story?
Yeah, so Shane he grew up in Garden Grove. He was a surfer. He was a car fanatic. And I found out about his story because his mom unfortunately posted a memorial about him on Facebook. And what happened for Shane is that his traveling sales job, obviously travel completely shut down in March 2020. So that job disappeared with pandemic shutdown orders. And he applied for unemployment. And again, one of these cases where we have screenshots on his phone, it shows he had $11,700 sitting in that account. But he told friends and family he couldn't get the money. And they later saw the call logs. He was just calling EDD dozens of times. You can see it's like 8 a.m., 8.01 a.m., 8.02 a.m., just trying over and over to get through. Again, at a time when we know as few as 1 in 1,000 people were getting through on those EDD lines. And ultimately what happened in Shane's case is that 3 days after his mom found out he had just called the EDD 17 times in a row, she got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning from Shane's wife, and Shane had died by suicide. And I do think it's important to note here that experts say suicide is almost always caused by multiple factors. But in Shane's case, his family does think that the inability to fix this problem with the EDD. They said he's a natural born problem solver. So that really frustrated him. Obviously, the financial stress of bills mounting at that time, he was kind of the breadwinner for him and his wife at the time. And then he was also concerned about just like the broader chaotic state of the world. So again, it's not like you can say the EDD was the only factor here, but I think it is just kind of like a really visceral reminder of the impact that all of this had on individual families, because it's something that the Balog family in Orange County is still trying to process today. And Shane's dad, Glenn, said to me, people needed help and my son needed help. And I asked him what he would say to the EDD, and he said, you failed him, and that's something that we can't get back.
Well, you did speak, as you mentioned, with Shane's parents, Patty and Glenn. So let's take a listen to some of the ordeal that they shared with you about what their son endured.
He had called him 17 times in a row. 17. Because I know the office opens at 8. He would be calling at 7:45, 7:50, over and over again. He didn't want to bother anybody with any of his dilemmas, any of his problems. Which is why when we would ask him, hey, do you need money? And he'd say, no, I'm good, really. I'm good, Mom and Dad. I said, okay.
My son couldn't get what he needed to survive, which he paid into. He was owed that. And he wasn't trying to be fraudulent. And he was honest.
Yeah, and Lauren, I mean, this story, Shane's story and his family's story, and also just the other several others that you spoke with, they really capture how this wasn't just simply a grave inconvenience.
No, this was really, I mean, in Shane's case, ultimately a matter of life and death, unfortunately. And I do think it's important to note also, there are no official estimates for how many people died by suicide while they were unemployed during COVID. But we did find out that EDD phone operators have to report any violent threats from callers. And they did record 483 threats of self-harm, and also more than 670 threats against EDD staff. So I think when you hear numbers like that, yes, there were millions of claims coming in at the time, but for the hundreds of people that were able to get through on the phone lines, and these are the sentiments they express, I think it just shows how dire the situation was.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would have this question. I mean, money was obviously going out, right? Because there were tens of billions of dollars in suspected fraud that took place. It's one of the largest widespread frauds in U.S. history, but it just wasn't going to the right people. So how were scammers more successful than real workers to get these benefits?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's kind of the central question of this entire thing, right? And the answer is that the fraud was extremely confusing. It was a whole web of fraud. It wasn't just like one type of scam that was happening. You had amateur scammers like teenagers and people all over the place that were buying and selling stolen data on the internet, on either the dark web or social media. You have more sophisticated scammers, like Nigeria is one country that analysts have said there's a lot of activity originated from, and there's a lot of court cases there now where folks were using stolen American identities to file claims using like fake Gmail accounts in one court case. And then the highest level, the FBI is still investigating cases where hackers affiliated with foreign governments were hacking in and filing these claims for both unemployment benefits and other types of pandemic relief, like the PPP business loans, you might remember. So it was this very chaotic picture, and how that played out in California, we now know, thanks to reports by people like Jennifer Palka, who co-led a task force convened by the governor to just understand what was happening at EDD. And what they found was that about 60% of the unemployment claims, the millions and millions of claims that were flying in to California, just sailed through this automated process. And that included a lot of claims that later turned out to be fraudulent. And it's interesting because the way that happened is that the good scammers are essentially, they're using stolen personal data that, even if it is checked against like the Social Security database or other things, it's going to pass that check because it's a precise copy of stolen data. They're often using software to kind of auto file these claims. So they got through no problem. But meanwhile, when you have real people that are using like mobile phones or old websites to file their own claims, 40% of them got flagged for all different reasons. Like maybe you put in your middle initial instead of your real middle name, or maybe your last name or your address was too long to fit in the EDD's database. You could have had mismatched dates compared to what your employer said. So the bigger picture is that this all just kind of went completely sideways as claims flooded in. And the big variable here that the EDD stresses is that there was this emergency program created for self-employed workers. It was called the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, or PUA, if you've heard that referenced. And EDD now says that's where 95% of the fraud was centered. And those are the ones where the application was not checked against anything else. You didn't have to submit other documents at the time. So those just kind of fly through the process. And meanwhile, folks who were trying to, you know, like cross their T's, dot their I's, were getting held up for all these other reasons. So I know it's a lot, but that's what we now know about just sort of one line of people going straight through the process, no problem, and others getting held up and in some cases facing these really tough circumstances.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Lauren Hepler, an investigative reporter for Cal Matters, about her latest investigation into California's Unemployment Disability Agency, EDD. So this all comes as you are writing that EDD is now working on an ambitious new plan to overhaul its benefit systems. What's happening with that? It's $1.2
billion. Yeah, $1.2 billion. It's a 5-year plan and it is technically called EDD Next. And the idea that Ron Hughes, who's hired to be the director, he's a former tech consultant, former state tech official. He said the idea is really to go beyond what the EDD was doing during the pandemic, which was just, trying to stop the bleeding, patch holes with all of the tech contracts they were signing. And now they're trying to step back, stop putting Band-Aids on stuff and fix some of these systems that they know were really problematic. State audits have made it very clear that the call centers that I mentioned were an issue, the online applications for an issue. They're even going back and looking at changing the questions that folks are asked when they apply for unemployment to make it easier and less confusing. So all of this is in motion now, and the state has already signed a few multi-million dollar contracts for technology from companies like Salesforce and Amazon to help with some of this. And some of it's live already. There's a new online system called MyEDD where folks can file their claim and sort of track their payment history online. The call center upgrades should be rolling out at the end of this year and next summer. So that's sort of still to come. And I would say the gist I'm getting from folks is that they're hopeful, but a bit wary given the EDD's history.
Yeah. Okay. So $1.2 billion over 5 years. So that leads to my next question. What do you want someone to know if they have to file for unemployment or disability tomorrow? I mean, what should they know?
It's a good question. I asked the EDD that, and like their message is kind of like, hold tight, we're fixing this. So that does leave the question of what do you do in the meantime? So, I mean, I talked with a lot of folks who are still, even like one woman who was trying to file for disability over the summer. She said she was still calling up to 67 times a day. It's still getting kind of the runaround that we heard about with the unemployment system. And folks take different approaches. A fair number of people I talk with have reached directly out to their state assembly or state senator and gotten help that way. Some folks reach out to people in the media, like you or me, Vicky, to just try to share their story. There's all kinds of communities online, on Reddit, on Facebook, on YouTube, where people share tips about how to crack through the phone system and things like that. So it still is kind of a disjointed picture. And I think there's a lot riding on these upgrades.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for the investigative series.
Thank you for having me.
Lauren Hepler is an investigative reporter for Cal Matters, and we've been talking about her latest investigations into the pandemic failures of California's unemployment agency, EDD, as well as a new plan to overhaul its systems. Still ahead, the Sacramento Observer is celebrating 60 years. We're going to revisit my conversation about the Observer's history. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.